Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of the GC Podcast. I am Joe Brandon. Now, if you're a longtime listener, don't be alarmed. This is not an old episode that you clicked on by accident. The GC Podcast Pro is still here, my brother from another mother and fellow pastor, Anthony Mullins, and we decided to change it up a little bit because of the specialness of this particular episode. Anthony, you had the privilege to interview your lovely bride, Elizabeth. What was it like to interview your favorite person in your life?
It ratcheted up the pressure, man, because I was feeling it. Like, this is my wife. We talk about these matters quite often as ministry leaders, but it's important that she's able to communicate what I know and hear from her often, and I don't want to blow it when we come together in a formal setting like GC Podcast. So I felt a little bit of pressure, but it was a lot of fun, and I know you know what I'm talking about because you've done this in the past. You, you interviewed your wife, and I don't know if you felt any pressure or additional pressure because of it, but it really was a great deal of fun because the content of what she was saying is rich. I think it's important conversation for us to be having as pastors and ministry leaders. And it was really fun to be on this side of the microphone so I could ask her the hard-hitting questions instead of her turning it on me like you're doing right now and asking me the questions. So I loved it, and I really do pray that people will get a lot out of it.
Yeah, she you guys have a lot of fun as a married couple, but she does bring such great insight and a passion for creating that safe space, not just in the worship environment, but even in her personal life. And because we have hung out a lot with you and Elizabeth, and she is very intentional on trying to create those safe spaces for communication and doing life together. And in this episode, Elizabeth shares that exact thing about crafting a safe worship environment. Now, Anthony, what do we mean when we say safe worship environment? And with you being a GCI pastor, why does that even matter to you?
Yeah, I think I'm, thanks for the question, Joe. I think I'm still exploring what it means when we say safe. I think probably a lot of people's mind go to, okay, we want to make sure that it's physically safe when people gather to worship. And of course, that's a part of it. And I think every church should have a safety plan because we live in a fallen, dark, broken world, and so that's an issue you have to consider. But in terms of this podcast, Elizabeth was really focusing in on what it looks like to craft a worship celebration that's emotionally safe, that's mentally safe, and that takes many forms, which she gets into. But what I mean when I say safe is, for a first-time guest, it's required so much courage for them to walk through that door. I've seen it on their faces and their body language when they walk through. It's intimidating to walk into a place you've never been when you don't know what to expect. And so we have to think of what it's like for them to be on the other side of us. And it can be things just like physical touch. I tease how I've come from a long lineage of hugger muggers. You know, we just love to hug and big bear hugs and those types of things. But I've seen first-time guests walk through the door, and that's the last thing they want. You can discern it in the moment. So I have to step away from myself, get out of my own desires and needs. I mean, I know I'm loved by Jesus Christ. So it's not a thing of rejection when somebody doesn't want to be hugged. It's just being aware of it and offering to them what it is they need in the moment. You welcome them, you thank them for coming, you let them know where the coffee and the bathrooms are, and you show them to a seat, but you let them be until they feel more comfortable. And why things like this matter to me is because I care about living life, sharing ministry with people from the community. I can think of several people in my church, Grace Community Hickory, who have started attending our church in the last 2 years from the community, and I cannot imagine life without them now. Mm. They're such an integral part of our fellowship and family. So I get excited when I think, oh, who haven't we met yet that's going to be a part of our family next year? And don't we want to craft and create a space where they feel welcome, where they feel safe? Joe, have you ever been on the outside of an inside joke?
Ooh.
You know, and how how bad that feels. Like, everybody wants to be included and on the inside. So one of the ways that we can even craft a safe environment is not to use language that's only for the insiders, where an outsider feels truly like an outsider, right? These are just some of the details that we can talk about as pastors and ministry leaders, ways that may create an unsafe environment for first-time guests. Because the key is, Joe, and you know this, we want first-time guests to become second-time attenders who really want to be enfolded into the life of our congregation. And that's why it matters so much to me as a pastor.
Anthony, as usual, you always bring such great insights and wisdom. I really appreciate that. Friends, let's listen to this interview between Anthony and Elizabeth as they discuss crafting a safe worship environment.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today, we got a doozy. Today, I have the great pleasure of welcoming my wife, best friend, and travel partner, Elizabeth Mullins. Elizabeth originally hails from the great state of West Virginia, wild and wonderful, but now calls Hickory, North Carolina, home. We have two daughters, stepdaughters for me, Sarah and Leanna, and one granddaughter, Riley. Elizabeth serves as the Love Avenue champion of Grace Communion Hickory, and because of that, she cares quite deeply about the first-time experience of guests from our neighborhood at the GC Hickory Worship Celebration on Sundays. In other words, when somebody comes to our church for the first time, what do they see? What do they hear? How do they feel? What is their experience? And of course, for all of us, we pray that their experience and encounter is with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So Elizabeth, I really appreciate you joining the pod today. And the focus of our time together is going to be crafting a safe worship environment for first-time guests. So as we get started, what's the reason that you have a passion for this topic? Why does it matter to you, and why should it matter to our churches?
Well, thanks for having me. This is fun doing this together.
Yes, it is.
Why does it matter to me? Well, I guess the short answer is that I just really love the church. How in this mystery that she is more than the sum of her parts, right? I mean, the church is made up of all of these imperfect people, and yet she's the spotless bride of Christ. I mean, just wow. And I guess the long answer would be that specifically, I love GCI. It's the only church I've ever attended. She is my mother church. And, you know, GCI has been using a leadership tool called Five Voices, and a lot of your listeners might be familiar with it. And one of the goals of this training is to grow in self-awareness, which is kind of what we're talking about here, right? Growing in awareness of how first-time guests receive us, how they perceive us. And one of the ways they frame it with Five Voices is to say, what's it like to be on the other side of me? In other words, how do other people receive me? And, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a worship leader, but I guess you could say I've been on the other side of it for almost five decades. I have sat in that chair. I have sat through the cringeworthy moments in a service. There have been times when I've felt unsafe. So yeah, it matters to me. I'm not an expert by any means, but I guess what I'm hoping in this conversation today, Anthony, is that we can that our conversation will spark conversations with other Hope Avenue teams, that they can have something to talk about in their context.
Yeah. And so as they, that's my desire too, that they would have ongoing conversations about what is the experience outside of ourselves, on the other side of us, for guests from the neighborhood. So why should it matter to the churches, to the Hope Avenue teams, to pastors, beyond just your own personal experience? Why should it matter so much to them?
Because we know that the church is not just the Sunday gathering, but often it is like that front door. It's the first impression. Our deep desire is to see people enfolded into a loving community. And, you know, by God's design, belonging in the body of believers is transformative. So we desire that. We desire for, you know, the contacts that we make out in the community, in the commons, the people that we're meeting through our Love Avenue activities. Our hope is that one day they may walk through the door of our church, and for it to grow into a lasting, enduring proximity relationship. And I think there are things that we can do unintentionally that we might miss that opportunity if our first impression is not safe.
Hmm. You just used the word intentional, which reminds me of the word crafting, which is the word I used as we got started here. So by using that word crafting, we are implying something. So what does it mean to you for us to craft a safe worship environment? And again, why is it so important?
Yeah, I think for me, when I use the word crafting, I am thinking that I'm creating something with purpose and intention. I love the direction that GCI is going in with the three avenues. So I think I've already said, we know that church is way more than just the Sunday gathering. And it also knowing purpose and intention for each avenue prevents us from trying to shoehorn everything in at the Hope Avenue, at the Sunday gathering. And so what are our purpose and intention for the Hope Avenue? To be centered on Christ, to be infused with the hope of the gospel, and to be focused on new people. I think we really, because we have other outlets with the faith avenues. With this Sunday gathering, we can be laser focused on centering guests and new people.
Yeah, I think that's a helpful way of framing it for all of us and what that Sunday gathering is for. So sometimes to define something, you have to define what it's not. So when we talk about a safe worship environment, let's turn it on its ear and say, okay, what can make a worship experience unsafe? And I invite you to be as specific as you want to be.
Sure. Well, let me just start by saying that I realize that having a conversation and saying there may be aspects of our current worship experience that are unsafe, just saying those words can be jarring. What do you mean we're not safe, right? Well, I'm of the strong belief that you have to name it to tame it, as they say, that we cannot tend to the healing of something if we're unable to name it. And I believe that most of this is unintentional, but it's, as we said, growing in awareness, growing in self-awareness. And I also want to say the caveat that felt safety can also be subjective. So we're not talking about being all things to all people. You know, if your only experience has been with a very somber, liturgical, high church experience, and you go to a church where there's a lot of spontaneous outbursts of amen or hallelujah, that might feel unsafe to you. But that's just one example of what's subjective. Because I believe that there are some universal things that lead to comfort and safety for most people. And a lot of them really just start with basic hospitality. But some more specific things are things like, how accessible is your service? Physically, do you have a spot for a wheelchair? Is your message accessible? We have we can expect to have neurologically diverse, different reading level, different intelligence in our listeners? Are we making it accessible in that we're using plain language? Are we using a lot of scholarly theological terms that guests may not understand, that I may not understand?
You and me both, sister.
I think being discerning and really being mindful of the cues that your guest is giving. If somebody comes in and they go straight to their seat, they could just be really introverted, and you as the hope champion or your greeter may make sure that they are greeted. But then you're also picking up on cues of if they just want to be left alone. They may have just gone in to sit down because they need to sit down, but they enjoy the conversation. And these are things that we have to be discerning about. One thing that can feel really unsafe is unwanted touch. We don't know the background or the experiences of people coming into our church for the first time. You cannot assume that somebody wants to be touched. You can put a hand out, you know, and a lot of these things are things that we know to make sure that a new person feels seen and welcomed, but then picking up on the cues of what they would need. I think a lot of confusion and chaos feels unsafe. I think if you've got leaders that are not practicing like an unanxious presence, that can feel unsafe. If there's, you know, the audience feeds off the energy of the worship leader and the speakers. And if this is why being intentional and being and crafting it with purpose matters. It's not because we're trying to put on a professional service. It's because planning ahead allows us to be calm and to bring that energy to our audience.
Yeah, you were talking, Elizabeth, about the message, the sermon, and the words that we use. And, you know, many in Grace Communion International have grown up in this denomination. And it's almost like a small town where everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everybody's stuff and their strengths and weaknesses to that. And one of the things, if we're not careful, we can do, we can use a lot of in-speak, GCI in-speak, that means nothing or can be confusing, or a first-time guest might feel like they're being left out. And that's something I've had to address with me. And I don't know if you'd plan to talk about that, but that's something I've recognized in myself and I've seen in others that we just have to be cautious of, because it can... You know, like you said, it takes so much courage to step into that door for the very first time. The last thing we want people to feel is like an outsider when they're sitting inside the church. And I think that's really what you're speaking to. So what are some of the signals, if I can use that word, signals that it's safe here in this church for first-time guests? What is it they may be looking for that tells them, okay, this is a good place to be?
Yes, and there are several. Let me just backtrack for a second, and I appreciate you bringing up about the in-speak, because as the love champion, I'm often the connecting point for new people that have visited, and I get a lot of feedback. And that is one of the feedback that I've gotten is, you know, don't say old worldwide when nobody knows when your guests won't know what you're talking about. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Things that signal that it is safe and that they're welcome. I think having extra chairs set up every single week, because nothing signals that you're not welcome than walking in and ushers are rushing around trying to set up chairs for you. We like to communicate to our regular members, please leave the back row open and some aisle seats. This is a way that we can decenter ourselves. Everybody likes to sit on the aisle. Sit on the aisle, and if you see someone new come in, move over. Your guests are not going to show up early, probably. And then all the aisle seats are taken. It's just a way that we can center them. And guests like to sit on the back row, too. They don't want to be up front often when it's a new experience. Another way is clear signage. and having your greeter or your point person make sure that someone coming for the first time knows where the coffee is and knows where the restrooms are, knows where children's church will be, introduces, you know, if there's children, introduce the children to the children's leader. Let them know what's coming up. And that's one of the biggest feedback that I've gotten from new people is wanting to know what to expect. You think about it, when we go to, even if we've grown up churched our whole lives, when we go to a graduation or a wedding, aren't we pleased when there's a program and we know what's coming next and maybe best of all when it's going to be over? So I think having a printed program, letting people know what to expect is one of the best ways to be hospitable. Have the passage, the Bible passage, in the program. I know sometimes we might want to pass out Bibles to a visitor who doesn't have a Bible, but that's also making the assumption that they'll know where to turn to it, how to find the passage. So using PowerPoint that cues us into what's coming next, that has the passage so that people can follow along and know what's going on. You know, I like to joke about our local church is that our mantra is try to remove the awkward. You know, when you don't know whether you're supposed to be sitting or standing or what's going on or, you know, why is there this awkward pause, that leads to feelings of discomfort.
Yeah. You use the term I'm not very familiar with to decenter ourselves. And maybe others are thinking, okay, what do you mean by that, Elizabeth? Can you share a little bit more and maybe how that gets expressed in the life of a church on a Sunday morning?
Sure. Well, when I use it, I just mean it's the opposite of centering ourselves. It's about esteeming others better than ourselves. To realize that this is a specific avenue, a specific time, and there are other ways where if I am a longtime member, where we might say, be fed. It doesn't have to be an in-depth scholarly sermon, just because that may be what I enjoy. That's what discipleship classes and Bible study and meeting up with your favorite person over coffee and discussing the Bible. It's like when we have a young, tender sprout and the way that we really care for it until it's taken root. I think of it in those terms, is that we are giving special care to new people in the hopes that they will take root.
Yeah, maybe the way the Apostle Paul would say it is to esteem others greater than ourselves. To, you know, I like being on the end of the aisle, Elizabeth, so you're meddling with me. You're saying that if a guest comes in, that maybe I should move a little more to the center. So thanks for calling me out on that. But you make a really valid point. It's not just about us, but we tend to do that. I tend to be selfish that way. And so I think this is a really needed conversation that we think outside of ourselves and really try to walk in the shoes of that first-time guest and what it is they may be experiencing. So I'm a church pastor, as you know, and with that comes a little bit of authority and what some might perceive as power. And so let's talk about that. What that looks like in a church, when it's healthy, when it's unhealthy, and how that might be received by a guest as safe or unsafe. Can you talk to that issue?
Sure. Yeah, I think healthy authority and power looks like humility and honesty. I think it looks team-based. It looks like having a lot of accountability. Having accountability to those that are supervising you and accountability to your team. When you think about any relationship that's abusive, that it looks the same way in a church leader when it's unhealthy, I believe. Controlling, dominating, someone that doesn't like accountability, that can't be challenged. And often, I've seen this in church settings where this shows up as a high turnover of volunteers or team members, because either the team members resign because the leader can't be challenged, or the leader replaces them because he or she doesn't want to be challenged. I think healthy leadership looks like transparency. And I think this shows up in the Hope Avenue setting as transparency with finances, transparency with how decisions might get made, or at least it's communicated that this is a team-based ministry, pastor-led, team-based, that the pastor is not a dictator. And that can be communicated in ways in the Hope Avenue. One of the more subtle ways that demonstrates unhealth is kind of believing that we as church leaders are the ones that drive the change. You know, the dominant narrative is that we are helpers. Pastors are helpers. But I feel like it can lead to kind of the ideology that your church members are people who need to be fixed. And I believe that a position of power to be able to empower other people. And I think that comes across to people in the Hope Avenue when the pastor is curious about where God is at work in other people's lives. When the pastor communicates that God is good and God is in our midst and you are an image bearer who is deeply loved, and God came near in the person of Jesus, and God is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. And that's empowering. That also, I feel like, helps guard against feeling like the pastor needs to be driving behavioral change when the Spirit convicts. And it can lead to, you know, those kinds of sermons that are seven steps to behavior change rather than Christ-centered, who is God and who are we in God? And I think it leads to burnout, because we can mistakenly feel like we're the ones that have to fix people, and we're not anybody's savior.
Yeah, that's a good word. It's a good reminder, because sometimes I think as pastors and preachers and teachers, we feel this responsibility. But I hear, at least what I interpret you're saying, is let God be God. He's the change agent through the Spirit. And so we just continue to point people to Him, and His loving humility and presence by the Holy Spirit will do what the Spirit does. So why don't you tell us, if you have one, why don't you tell us about a time that you or someone you know and love felt unsafe at church, without naming names, and especially if it was me that made somebody feel unsafe. Let's just not go there, okay? However, but if you have another example, why don't you share that with us so we get more of an idea of what you are talking about?
Sure. Should I start with the serious one or the funny one? I have two examples.
Let's go funny first.
So about 10 years ago, I did a little church shopping. But as I said, GCI is my church, and just ended up coming back because there was nothing like her. When I was doing that church shopping, I went with a close friend, and, you know, there are a lot of funny stories. But, you know, and if you let me just say, segue here, a little side note, if you've only ever been to the same church your whole life, go somewhere else just to experience it. Yeah. It'll be eye-opening. So we went from, you know, one church that didn't even acknowledge we were there, didn't greet us anything, to this particular church. When we walked in, you know, two big burly guys were the greeters, and they just grabbed both of us in these big bear hugs. Hint, don't do that. You know, it was just kind of funny, because fortunately neither one of us, you know, had trauma in that area. It was just awkward. But the best part, or should I say the worst part, happened after the service. When it ended, my friend like leaned over and said, "Let's get out of here." And right about that time, someone that I knew from the neighborhood started speaking to me. So she went to the back of the church to wait for me. And I'm talking to my friend, and I look up, And some man has both of her hands in his hands, and he's, you can just tell from a distance that he's praying heartily for her. And she does not even have her head bowed. She is looking at me and she mouths to me, "Get me out of here."
And are you saying prayer, you know, is wrong?
Well, talk about not being self-aware. It was not something she desired or wanted, you know, and fortunately it really wasn't traumatizing. We laughed about it later, but, you know, just be self-aware of what the other person wants and needs, because healthy leaders set and respect boundaries. And I don't know where we got off track thinking that our members and our listeners don't have boundaries. We do, you know, and that's something I've thought of and haven't brought up for several of your other questions about safety. Graphic, specific, personal sermons that are bring up embarrassing topics, specific topics about sex, those don't have any place in the Hope Avenue, in my opinion. You don't know what your listeners have experienced. Survivors of sexual trauma, they don't want to hear, they don't want to go to church and hear a sermon about sex. And so another example that comes to mind is when my girls were just barely teenagers, we all heard a message where the person talked very intimately about their addiction to pornography. And it wasn't the time or place for children of that age to hear it. And it was very uncomfortable for them. We have to respect the boundaries of our listeners. There are other avenues for those kinds of conversations. Conversations where you have gotten to know the person and know their triggers and get consent from them to bring these topics up.
Yeah, you've talked about other avenues, and I think this is important. You've alluded to this already in our conversation, but, you know, oftentimes we try to shoehorn in everything on Sunday morning. Everything has to get said there because that's our one source of discipleship and formation, as opposed of gathering as the church during the week in small group format, where real formation can happen. And in relationship, breaking bread together, having the more intimate, while always respecting boundaries, but we can have the more intimate conversations in a setting like that in a small group, as opposed to trying to work all that in on a Sunday morning. And I know you've talked about this before, and all of us as pastors and preachers have to check ourselves that, you know, that we don't use the pulpit to do open therapy, open-ended free therapy with the congregation. Now, we know as pastors and preachers and teachers, often we talk about matters of the heart, things that have been on our mind, that's okay. But we really do need to bring it before the Lord and make sure that we're checking ourselves about, is this about me? Or is it really about what you want me to say and communicate to the congregation, Lord? So with that, what else? I mean, we've covered a lot of ground here, and I think the things that you've said are really excellent and thought-provoking, and I do hope the conversations continue. But what else would you like to communicate to pastors and ministry leaders in GCI about this topic?
I think we've covered a lot. I think you were going to mention that we'll put in the show notes the article that I wrote on this topic for the Equipper that might say it a little more succinctly than I have so far. I would just want to say how much I love and appreciate our pastors, our Hope Avenue champions, our worship leaders. I think it is an extremely difficult role. Yeah, you're so needed and you're so appreciated. And we spoke about the five voices, and I think some of you are familiar with the different voices. And I speak creative guardian, but guardian comes out pretty strong when we're talking about the bride. And I just want to express my heart on that, that I think for most of us that are guardians, we can be received. Talk about what it's like to be on the other side of me. We can be received as being critical. But I just want to say to any pastors, leaders that are listening today, it always comes from a place of deep love and hope. Love for the body and hope that we can always be just a little bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just had this thought, Elizabeth, before I let you go. Even if it's been indirect, I think we've been communicating how these three avenues are integrated. They flow into one another because you're a love avenue champion, and yet we're talking about the hope avenue because you care very deeply about the people that you've invited to come into our church and experience a Sunday worship gathering. And I think that's an important word for ministry leaders to continue to think through, how do these three avenues not become separate silos, but integrated ministries? Because together, that makes a strong, vibrant, healthy environment for people to experience the risen Lord. So it is our tradition, Elizabeth Mullins, my wife, that I love being on this side of the microphone because I get to ask the questions and you got to come up with the answers. And so this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to ask you seven questions, just fast. And I want you to tell our listening audience just the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay. Are you willing to play along? And we haven't rehearsed this in advance. You don't know what the questions are. No, you can't. You're kind of stuck. So here we go. With that being said, which season of the year do you like most, winter, spring, summer, or fall?
Summer.
Summertime. Your favorite national park in the U.S.?
Glacier.
Hey, come on.
Or Olympic.
wait, one answer. So the better pet, cats or dogs, and why are you wrong on this matter?
Definitely cats.
Wrong.
And they are better because... you do not have to take them outside at 6 a.m, and you can leave them for a week when you go on vacation.
So that's what you think of your pets? You just want to leave them behind? What kind of pet owner are you? Oh, you're not. We gave up and abandoned our cat. No, we didn't abandon her or him. We gave it to our stepdaughter, Leanna. Next question, fill in the blank. I feel most content when what?
I feel most content when I'm with you, babe, near the water.
Please.
Go
on,
babe,
please.
On a podcast?
You just did. If you could have a superpower, and I'm certainly not communicating that you don't have a superpower, but if you could have a legit one, what would it be?
I was going to say mind reading, but I think that would be a curse. To swim underwater and never need an oxygen tank, like a fish.
Yeah, that's good. The first word that comes to mind when you think of Jesus?
Love.
Yeah. And finally, fill in the blank. Being a grandmother to Riley makes me what?
Tickled. I laugh all the time. I just enjoy her so much.
Oh, yeah. It's so fun watching you guys. You and Riley interact together. It's a beautiful thing. Makes me happy inside. I'm smiling. Well, Elizabeth, thank you for being you. I kind of like you, and I really appreciate you taking time to join me today. We have a practice here at GC Podcasts. We like to end the show with prayer. So I'd like to ask that you'd pray for our pastors, ministry leaders. Just pray for GCI, if you would, please.
Yes, be my honor. Father, Son, and Spirit, we love you. We want to love you more and more. We want to grow in awareness of who you are and who we are in you. May we, all of us, but particularly those who have the mantle of leadership and pastoring churches, grow in wonder and awe and curiosity, grow in the belief that you are good and you're at work in every person we meet. Grow in curiosity to see how you're working, God, and how we can join in with you. May our pastors and our leaders just be filled with a peace that surpasses understanding, that they would know that they're not just tools, that they're not just a commodity for the church, but that they are beloved. They are beloved and they're needed, and they can rest in that, that they can begin to just, through the power of your Spirit, release self-protection, release fear and scarcity, release overworking, and just embrace your promise that you, Jesus, will build your church. Fill them with wisdom and joy. Just my prayer is that they would have a renewed joy and a renewed love for your bride. Thank you that you see her as radiantly beautiful. Give us your eyes for the church. We want to see her as you do, pure and spotless. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, for coming near and staying near. We love you. Thank you for GCI, for this particular part of your body. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Joe, I'm a little bit biased. I don't know if you know this, but I thought Elizabeth shared several important concepts. Tell us what stood out to you.
Well, as a pastor, and you actually made reference to it, in the intro, what stood out to me, she asked the question, how accessible is our messages as far as like the sermon? Because as we reach out into the community, we're going to have a range of understanding and education with people that are coming to our worship services. So are we using plain language, or are we using big theological language that most people cannot understand? I think you even used the illustration, have you ever been on the outside of an inside joke where you have no clue on what they're talking about? And that was one that really stood out to me that she said.
Yeah, fortunately for me, that's all I got is plain language. So I'm good there. So clearly crafting a safe worship environment requires prayer, requires planning. And speaking of prayer, GCI friends from around the world have a way to participate in prayer for one another. Joe, why don't you tell us about the GCI prayer guide?
Yes, if you go to gci.org and under that participation tab, you can see a spot there that says prayer guide. And you can open that up. It's a PDF. You can actually print it out and you can share it. You can send it through email to members and stuff. And we're part of an international family of believers around the world. And this prayer guide allows us to see the life of GCI around the globe, but also to join in worship through prayer with our brothers and sisters from all over the globe.
Yeah, amen to that. Friends, we really appreciate it. Truly, we so appreciate you listening to us. It matters, and we hope and trust that it's hitting the mark for you as ministry leaders. If you like what you've heard, and Joe did a great job introducing this podcast, didn't he? If you like what you heard, give us a rating wherever you listen to this podcast. It really does help get the word out and for others to join in the conversation. Until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.